Hey people, are you in the market for a new timepiece and don't know how to go about purchasing one? Well, I'm here to help. As your luxury timepiece concierge, I'll help you source, purchase, and get you the best possible price at no additional cost to you. You can contact me at amitdevhonda@gmail.com or you can visit me on my website at www.amitdevhonda.com. Okay, on with the show. On today's episode, I want to talk to you about Swatch Group's influence on the entire Swiss watch industry. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. What's going on there, watch fans? It's Amit Dev Honda, and thank you for listening to my podcast. I first want to start off by giving my condolences to the families of the victims of the Orlando shootings. Very, very sad. And, you know, I pray for them and I pray for their well-being. It's a crazy time right now. A lot of destruction and chaos going on, but usually I'm not going to say something good comes out of these things, but hopefully we have better times ahead. And my heart goes out to all those affected. Without further ado, I wanted to get into, the Swatch Group's effect on the Swiss watch industry. A lot of people don't know, but, you know, the Swatch Group is basically in part responsible. If it weren't for the Swatch Group, we would not have a Swiss watch industry as we know it today. And a lot of people don't know the reason. A lot of people may not care. First of all, the Swatch Group owns Swatch, which is, you know, the parent company that owns a lot of brands and a lot of things. And for those of you who are unaware of what they own, just to quickly go through it, not only do they own Swatch, they own Tissot, they own Hamilton, they own Rado, they own Jacques Drouot, they own Blancpain, they own Glashütte Original, but they own Breguet. They own, you know, Omega. They're a huge powerhouse, and they also own the parts companies. Majority of the parts companies that you see, the hands companies, the dial companies, the movement companies, including Lemania, Etta, Valjoux, and various other movement companies. I believe they own Salida as well, and they basically, you know, are the most powerful watch group in the world. But if it weren't for Swatch, there would be no Swiss watch industry. And what do I mean by that? Well, in the 80s, which is known in the watch industry as the quartz crisis, you had these brands like Casio and Citizen and all these brands, these Japanese brands coming in making, you know, practically disposable quartz watches, battery-driven watches, digital watches that were taking over. And, you know, it looked like it totally decimated the entire Swiss watch industry. You know, mechanical watches were, you know, really, it was being threatened. And, you know, because for the average person, buy a $40, $50 calculator watch that does everything. Why do you need a mechanical movement watch? You know, and, you know, here we are, you know, 30, 40 years later, with the Apple Watch, and I feel like it's kind of ironic. I feel like the watch industry and the Swiss watch industry is only more powerful today. But Swatch basically is, you know, the Swatch Group answered and countered this Japanese quartz crisis of the 80s by introducing Swatch, which basically was their version of not really. I mean, looking at it, yeah, you could say it's plastic disposable, but you know, a watch that was, you know, $40, that was made entirely in Switzerland, that was clean, fun, happy, inspired by music and fashion and movies, art, you name it. It was one of those brands, and it really, really revitalized and saved the Swiss watch industry because, you know, you had different models, you had different, you know, then you started getting limited editions and packages. And I started my career with Swatch, so I, you know, this is one of those brands I'm extremely pumped by even today. You know, I have to give them respect and pay homage to them, And I wanted to, you know, sort of make sure that you all knew the importance of the Swatch Group. You know, they're today, I mean, with all the fine brands that they own and mid-level brands and entry-level brands, you know, they continue to innovate. They continue to do things that, you know, not a lot of groups have the balls or the power to do, but they also have a monopoly. Most of the movements and hands and all that, the cases and all that stuff that a lot of watch groups today use for their watches, house their watches in, are supplied by the Swatch Group. I mean, even Rolex at one time had to go to the Swatch Group to buy hair springs. And when you're buying that kind of bulk and quantity and you're making so many watches, imagine how powerful and how rich the Swatch Group is. So, you know, if those of you sleeping under a rock or just don't know, you know, this is why the Swatch Group is so powerful. I don't think they get enough respect. I don't think enough people know that their importance in the Swiss watch industry. And I mean, also, if you look at, you know, Omega, for instance, they started their whole campaign with, you know, James Bond and Omega and Cindy Crawford as spokespeople. I mean, every major Swiss watch brand today is doing the same thing. They're truly innovators. If you look at auction markets, I mean, again, Swatch, more importantly, Swatch, the plastic $40 brand, I mean, I know because I went through it, like they made limited edition watches and special packagings, as I referenced earlier. But the thing is like, you know, $40 plastic watch packaged, only, let's say, 3,000, 4,000 made, you know, they cut the supply off in other parts of the world and they only made it strong in one part. So the demand became really strong in other parts of the world and they were going for 50, 60, 70, 100 times, some even 1,000 times more than their retail. And, you know, they even went in auctions and made vegetable swatches, a cucumber, red pepper, and bacon and eggs, and pop swatches. And those became a set and they were sold in vegetable markets in Switzerland. I mean, you know, and, you know, these kind of things created this buzz and this demand and this euphoria around the brand that became pop culture. And they created a pop culture of their own, you know, and had artist series, artist designing watches and things like that. So, you know, when you see the relevance of a brand like Swatch, you know, and you see what they've done and how they did it so cleverly. They didn't just make a plastic watch. They made a really original watch. It was art that ticked. And even today they make Swatch and they do a lot of collaborations. They're very well respected. You know, they moved into mechanical movements. They've done the System 51. Incredible. It's a movement that it's a automatic movement essentially that's held together with like a single screw. I mean, they are cult in so many ways, and they redesigned and they reestablished, you know, the way watches were done. And a lot of brands got inspiration from that. And, you know, they made watches in steel. They made watches in platinum. They made carousels. They made chronographs. They've done just about everything you can possibly imagine. But really, again, I must give them incredible credit because, you know, here's this small brand that's bigger than you could possibly even imagine. And today a lot of watch brands, you know, it was mandated by the Swiss courts that a lot of brands cannot buy from the Swatch Group. They'd have to be their own in-house manufacturer. They have to make everything themselves. But, you know, with everything that Swatch does, they deserve all the credit. They deserve all the accolades to go from the small little brand. And Nicholas Hayek Sr., who, God rest his soul, passed away some years back. His son, Nicky Jr., is running the company, and his daughter also, you know, has a lot to do with the company. They also own Harry Winston, I forgot to mention. They acquired Harry Winston a few years back. But it's pretty remarkable, and it's pretty incredible, and definitely look out for what they're doing. I mean, they've opened stores called Tourbillon all over the world, which showcases most of their brands under one roof. You know, they have another one, I believe, called Our Passion that, you know, has, you know, their lower-end brands, and they have their Tourbillon stores that have their higher-end brands, up to Omega, I believe. But yeah, that Swatch's relevancy in the watch industry, that they are the reason that we have a Swiss watch industry in large part. And they're a group and a brand to be reckoned with. They just have so much power and influence. And I certainly love the brands that they have. I've always believed in them. And the cool thing is that you can buy a very complicated, expensive watch under their portfolio, or you can still buy a Swatch for, 50, 60 bucks, and it's entirely made in Switzerland. So anyway, that was my thoughts on Swatch's influence and power within the Swiss watch industry. I'd like to thank Shellboy Music and DJ Flipside for providing the musical tracks to this podcast. If you want to know what's going on with me and the watch industry, please check out my website at www.amadevhonda.com. You can check out my blog, you can check out my videos, you can check out my podcasts. You can see I'm also a distributor for Kingsley 1945 watches, which are very original pilot-style watches that are hand-assembled in Providence, Rhode Island. And I'm proud to be a distributor for the West Coast. You can definitely check out my weekly newsletter. I'll put the link down below. And until we meet again, rock on and fly back.